Do you know the number one thing that surprises engaged couples? Take a guess. The sheer amount of decisions they have to make while planning a wedding. Indoors or outdoors? How many guests? Are kids invited? Controversial. Which cake flavor? Seriously, how do you even begin to figure out what's right for you? That's where Zola comes in. Zola has everything you need to make every wedding decision a piece of cake, from choosing your dream wedding venue and vendors to deciding how to best spend your budget. With tons of customizable wedding websites, save the dates and invites, every detail will feel like you. Zola will even help you choose the gifts, experiences, and cash funds you really want. The next thing you know, you've planned your whole wedding all in one place. From getting engaged to getting married, Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This isn't even close to the most controversial thing Tommy has ever said. In fact, when it fell out of his mouth, both Kimmy and I believed you stumbled onto something brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Blew the lid
off
of entire industry. But it made some people very upset. And specifically one man... who is here to argue the reason this TV channel is so successful with their Christmas movies is not because of alcohol.
Yeah.
But because the community needs stuff like this.
So he watches this.
That's what he says.
It's impossible.
You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. It's Wednesday, it's 8 o'clock, it's time for Hate Mail of the Week. And about 2 weeks ago, Tommy blew the lid off of an entire TV network.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about the Hallmark Channel
and
their Christmas movies. And for those who may not know about this phenomenon, we'll give you a quick crash course. During the holiday season, the network runs these self-produced Christmas movies nonstop.
Very romantic.
And they're almost back to back to back to back to back.
Yeah. Okay.
They all have the same formula.
Yep. Same towns.
No-name
peoples.
Yep. No-name actors. Mm. They star in a movie where someone who lives in a big city goes home for the holidays or they're stranded in a small town.
Passing through.
Their lives are stressful. They've lost sight of what really matters in the world. And when they get home or to this place... they think they're too good for. They meet someone of the opposite sex.
Mm-hmm. They get their comeuppance.
A simple man or a woman. Mm-hmm. Maybe someone from their past. Maybe a dark stranger. This person draws them in. And with the holidays as the background, they fall in love. And this fast-living city slicker moves to this small town to live happily ever after, just like everyone in America should.
Yeah.
By the way, none of that's an exaggeration.
Yeah.
It's every single movie.
There will be ice skating at some point, too.
And can we-
There's like non-sexual sex scenes.
What is that?
You don't see it. Like, they don't touch. Like, they're going to, like, go off
like, you'll see, like, them touch hands and look
at each
other.
And then, like, the door closes.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, that's it. Like, you'll see something drop to the floor or a wine glass gets set down. And then...
it's implied.
Yes.
There's also some always, like, a bizarre background detail. Mm-hmm. Like, the mayor has made Christmas illegal for some reason.
Or like, and they're fighting something.
Yes, the town is going to lose their only restaurant to some slick city businessman unless the apple pie some old lady makes wins a $50,000 contest. Like, it's like, how the hell is... okay, fine.
There's one right now where they're on a treasure hunt, I think.
Okay.
And, like, that's the premise. Like, that's how they fall in love, is they're going on this Christmas treasure hunt together.
So these movies are unbelievably stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But they are massively successful. And Tommy, you figured out why.
Yes. These are for drunk old ladies at night that just drink themselves to sleep because they'll forget what they were watching. But you don't have to because it's the same story. You could pick it up on the next show, the next two-hour movie. It's the same movie over and over. And it's got to be for the lady lush that sits there at night and she's just wants something to just buy.
To have on TV.
Mindless entertainment that takes her her sexual fantasy.
So
it's grandma porn.
When Tommy,
it's pornography.
When Tommy says only alcoholics watch the Hallmark Channel.
Lady Lush.
We realized he was right. Because we discovered that every movie has multiple scenes where people are drinking wine in it.
Yeah.
Then, thanks to a listener, we discovered that Hallmark themselves sells a line of Christmas-themed wines to go along with their
movies. Not
even
just Christmas, like New Year's. You name the holiday, it's they turned it into a wine.
Yeah.
You blew the lid off of this.
Yeah, done.
You nailed it.
But we did say it's not just older ladies. Younger ladies are in the game, too.
Also getting drunk and watching the Hallmark Channel. Well, here's the thing.
What's that?
Maybe you didn't blow the lid off this whole thing.
What's that?
Well, first off, we got a ton of Facebook messages, and it was only on Facebook, no Instagram, from older women that were very upset that you called them drunks.
Because I exposed them.
Well, you called them drunks, and they said
but
that they
are. You're lush. I know a lush when I see one.
Wonder if you get the laws of this great country. Put on the Hallmark Channel. But it was a letter from a gentleman.
From a guy.
Through the mail.
He's got to be my age.
We don't have an age.
But yeah, I'm guessing he's my age.
We just have a name. Okay, it's possible. Maybe older, Tommy. He's here to say that your theory is wrong.
Oh.
And there's another reason why these movies are so successful. Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck, telling Tommy, get a better job. Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
Thinking that the only people who watch Hallmark movies are alcoholics is a laughable and downright stupid idea. My wife and I watch them regularly, and neither of us are alcoholics. I'm insulted you believe that about my wife and I. If you ever watched any of the movies, you would know they're popular because the world is looking for something wholesome and good these days. The news is scary and depressing. Everyone's always fighting, and every other show on TV or Netflix or whatever has sex and violence and conflict. These movies are a throwback to simpler times when neighbors looked out for each other and good always triumphed over evil. My wife and I can hold hands and enjoy a good love story, a small town getting one over on the outside world that thinks it's smarter and better than regular Americans.
Yeah!
The movies are good because they're everything your radio show is not. They are what we want the world to be. If you can't understand that, I feel bad for you, and I encourage you and the rest of the people you work with to find something that makes you happy and stop being so nasty to people who just want to be happy around the Christmas season.
Yeah.
Sincerely, Don.
Don the sap. What a sap.
Speaking
He's
of
a total sap.
You're kind of proving his point. Speaking of stealing joy.
What?
What?
You suck. Why do you want to be happy?
Because there's no happiness in these things.
Can you define sap? What is sap?
A sap is somebody that just is easily, he's a numbskull. He's a numbskull? He's a numbskull.
Watch out, 1950s nerds, he's coming for you.
But I'm telling you, he's a dunce. He's
a dunce!
He likes bass entertainment.
Okay.
He's bass.
Okay. Well, it would explain why he was listening to our show.
Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I just want to make sure everyone's following along.
Like I guarantee you, he's an adult man that owns a whoopee cushion. He has a Spencer's credit card. You know what I'm saying? You know the guy.
He's got a Spencer's credit card.
He's got nudie ice cubes in his tray.
Okay.
He's that guy.
All right. Did we just find the one man in America who enjoys Hallmark movies, Christmas movies?
They're unwatchable, man. First of all, they're not written for men. They're written for your mom or your grandmother.
Watch it.
Well, not your mom. Your mom, party mom.
Okay.
No, I don't know. Every now and then, my dad enjoys like a corny movie.
No, but there's a difference between corny and what we're describing here.
Yeah.
That's Jim Carrey doing something silly. There's no slapstick.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm like, Dad, why are you watching this? It's something Hallmark-like.
Oh. No, but like,
this is nice.
To Tommy's point, I didn't even think that these Hallmark movies could be a guilty pleasure for men. I just assumed they were aimed solely at women.
At older women.
You brought up the love story, the simple life of getting away from the stress of the world, the down-homey feel that places like Skinny Atlas tries to sell us in the holidays. That's a female thing.
And there's no surprises in these things. Like, it's the same scenario over and over. So even when they try to, like, throw the surprise. I just saw this in 5 other episodes.
But Don, in his angry letter to you, where he tells you to stop being a dick, may have a weird point.
Mm.
I kind of get where he's coming from.
Okay.
Because people do want to feel warm and fuzzy around the holiday season.
Okay.
That's why folks sit down and watch other Christmas classics like Rudolph or Frosty or Year Without a Santa Claus, right? You do it as adults.
Mm-hmm.
But doing this with Hallmark movies is kind of flawed. Because those Christmas specials, Rudolph, Santa, they're based solely in fantasy.
Yes.
Right? They're animated. They remind you of your childhood.
The whole Christmas
story.
They
take it back.
It's nostalgic. Yeah. That makes sense. Don here, it sounds like based on his letter, sees these Hallmark movies as based in reality.
Yes.
Because I'm going to read you a quote from the letter. Are you ready? These movies are a throwback to a simpler time when neighbors looked out for each other and good always triumphed over evil. What part of history was that?
I don't know.
Can you?
I want to know where because he has that Norman Rockwell belief in America.
Yeah.
That never existed. I'll tell you, like, if you want to go back to that simpler time we all got along, I know two guys who were back there. My dad and my uncle Don. And they were none of that. None of it.
I mean, look, and I'm not even trying to be a dick here because I don't want to take away Don's job. Yeah. I don't. But it does blow my mind. The grown-ass people
back
can watch.
Everything was perfect.
Yes.
You're buying the jive.
But you're watching this stupid movie and going, that's how things should be. That's how it was when I was growing up. No, it wasn't. It just seemed that way because you were a little kid. Your parents protected you
and
from
maybe
evil.
Maybe you, but not from everybody.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Like, I mean, you sound stupid. And I don't mean to be mean. Of course your parents should have protected you from that. You're a child.
I get the argument of it being a distraction. That's fair.
Yes, if he wrote the show, Don, and said, I like to turn off my brain and get into the Christmas spirit, fine. That makes sense.
I'll give you that.
Yes. But to say these movies are how the world should be makes you sound dumb.
Yes. That's my point.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, you're just a shallow dude.
Women should be able to move to small towns and find model, good-looking carpenters that make major scenes for the town hall for free. And then the small town raises money for their annual Christmas pageant that's happened for 100 years. They can't come up with the money, but everyone drives $150,000 pickup trucks. It's a weird thing, right?
Yeah,
it's a weird
thing. Yeah.
The town has one sheriff who's somehow always on duty morning, noon, and night. You can't hire
it's
one deputy.
Mayberry.
You don't know. Even Mayberry had a deputy.
Yeah, true.
It's Sheriff Bob again. Doesn't sleep. No. Got a meth problem on account of protecting the town.
And by the way, like, these towns are so picturesque. Yeah. Like, there's not a flaw in these towns.
It's always like the perfect amount of snow.
Yes.
Like, where's all the dirty snow that they're shoveling out of the road?
It's perfect. The people are perfect. The pets are perfect. The yards, the homes.
Even the town bum is like charming. His beard is manicured.
Yes.
Like, that's old Pete. He's a town.
And everybody takes him in.
Yes. Nobody wants to talk about his bill for his liver.
And for some reason, that like small town carpenter she falls in love with lives in a barn. Like, if any other guy said, hey, come on over, I live in a barn, you'd be like, well, I think I'm done here.
252 WZMF. 2 weeks ago, Tommy stumbles upon the brilliant theory that the reason Hallmark Christmas movies are so successful is because they're watched exclusively by drunk women.
Yes.
They're all the same. You can jump right in and out of them. Brilliant take.
It's lush TV, baby.
Don writes us a letter, says he watches them with his wife. Mm-hmm. That it's not because of the drunk and stuff. He took offense to you calling him
an alcoholic.
We
don't drink. Yeah. Maybe you should.
It's because these movies are what life used to be like and what life should be. Yes.
Wholesome.
Small town getting one over on City Slickers. Let's talk to Mike. Hey, Mikey, you're on CMF, buddy. What's up?
Hey, first of all, the guy that wrote the letter, he's a chooch. I don't know what he's talking about. There's a grandiose effect to these stupid movies. I had to watch them with my ex. She's not an old lady. She wasn't drunk. I had to be drunk just to watch them. But they are creating a fairy tale life that doesn't exist. Thus why people feel entitled and relationships don't really work. There's no realism to these.
Man. No, I mean, but here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mike. Most of the movies you watch, realism, right?
Like,
I put on The Running Man over the weekend.
This is even beyond that, though. I mean, this is creating, again, like, every woman's going to dump any guy that makes a mistake because the next best thing is the fairy tale over in fairyland that doesn't exist.
Okay, now, Mike, it sounds like we're going away from the movies and now we're getting into something that happened with your life, and that's okay. If you want to keep talking, I'm here for you, buddy.
No, but it is true. It is true.
Mikey, thanks for the call, buddy. I appreciate it. No, again, having fantasy is fine.
Yeah, yeah.
It's believing in the fantasy that's the problem.
Yeah, I mean, grew up on Disney movies.
But
right?
I don't.
It's the same thing.
I don't see the entertainment value of watching the same movie over and over and over again.
But I think that could also be part of the draw with these is you're not technically watching the same movie over and over
again.
But
there's no surprise.
You're like, getting a different movie every time.
It's safe. That's what it is.
It's about as safe as it gets.
No, but that's the draw.
Yeah.
It's safe.
Like, I know nothing bad is going to... It's going to end on like a happy note.
But like, it's the same happy note. You know what I mean? It's like listening to the same song, just sung by different people in the same tempo.
You mean like Christmas carols?
Yes. Another insanity thing. Yes.
That's the thing, but they're also very popular. We got tweets coming in. You can always tweet us at WCMF Breakroom. At Vexed Patriarch tweets at us. Don seems like the kind of guy that would call his wife mother, thinks cheddar popcorn is a little wild, and wears a robe with his pajamas.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's got a monogram robe, and he calls his wife M'lady.
So we got more tweets.
I mean, you want to surprise me in one of these things? How about a minority shows up in one of them? Like, you don't even get a...
No,
you don't
they've
get,
been mixing
you don't
it up
get
lately.
The Chinese restaurant.
They've gotten with the times.
They mixed it up after there were complaints.
Yes, yes.
But no, you brought up the...
There's like, it's just... It's a bunch of white people.
No, you're right. There's no Chinese or Indian restaurant in the town, right?
Like, right. There ain't a brother in sight.
Like in all seriousness, though, like when Christmas happens, right? There's no Jewish folks getting Chinese food for lunch?
No.
Right?
No, there's nothing.
And here's the thing that we learned being on the road doing comedy in the middle of the country.
Right.
It doesn't matter how small the town is.
You're right.
There is always a Chinese restaurant.
I was amazed. Like, you could be in a one light town, and there is one Chinese restaurant.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to Rammer. Hey, Rammer. How are you, buddy?
Good morning. So I don't know if maybe I missed it, but this Don and his hate mail doesn't actually say that they don't drink. He just says they're not alcoholics.
This is true. I believe you're right. Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Well, that's so, what I mean, say.
I'm not an alcoholic, but I actually watched the movie this weekend, Love Actually, which is
a
holiday movie.
It's not a good
and
one.
And I was drinking. I mean, I don't think it was on the Hallmark Channel, but I don't, you know, the Hallmark Channel has, you know, basically, like you said, the same movies. Tommy, how often do you drink?
Constantly.
Have you been drinking this morning? What is happening right now?
I'm jealous.
Are you drinking this morning? No. But I mean, Tommy, from what I know, he's a lot like me. He might have a cocktail or two, you know, on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't consider himself an alcoholic, even though he probably is.
Right, well, I get called that when I walk in here.
So your argument is Don and his wife actually alcoholics?
No, my argument is they probably don't see themselves as alcoholic, but they're probably drinking a box of wine while they're watching the Hallmark movie.
All right. I'm going to take this. I got it. Thank you, Rammer. Have a good rest of the day. Let's quickly run over to Twitter again.
Okay.
Again, hate mail of the week, Hallmark movies, drunks, etc. Matt writes us on Twitter, hashtag Hallmark Christmas is a guilty pleasure of mine. So that's a second guy that's in the Hallmark movies. Especially when I have a rough day at work. P.S. I love my drinks. So he admits he's a drunk,
okay,
but he also likes the Hallmark movies.
But there's a lot of male escapism on television. You don't need the grandma quill, you know what I mean? You could watch sports. You could look at porn. You could watch. there's channels for you
that
take your mind off of your day.
I don't think that a soft, sappy movie every once in a while is a bad thing for a guy.
Yeah.
All right.
I get the escapism.
You get in touch
of
with
that.
Your feelings sometimes.
Yeah, you want to feel something that isn't anger.
But usually that's a comedy. Like, usually you would watch a wacky comedy.
Yeah, okay, it could be something
more
like
than
that
you would
too,
watch but... a love story that goes nowhere.
I love how you call this dude basic. He said, "We had a rough day. Watch a wacky comedy.
Yes,
watch it. Wait, you got a wacky comedy over there."
I mean, Jim Carrey made a living out of this.
Second Jim Carrey reference. What Jim Carrey movie is going to cheer me up at the end of my day? I watched him talk to his butt.
Funny stuff.
You got the funny stuff over there.
Funny stuff.
Doing the funnies. All right, so look, we're not here to tell you not to enjoy Hallmark Christmas movies. We're just here to tell you watch your liver while you're doing it.
Yeah.
And I'm still with you, man. This is the smartest thing you've ever come up with.
Oh, you're welcome.
And you may have begun this may be the chip in the wall
I
that
may bring
is.
It down.
That's what I'm saying, man. All thanks to you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can make a really good argument that this is by far the most popular food in the greater Rochester area right now.
Wow.
And there could be a sneaky reason why. Almost every other food you can get at restaurants around the greater Rochester area, you can make at home yourself. But this one...
Can't do it.
Well, as much as it's been a part of our community for a while, I don't think anybody listening has any idea how to do it at home.
Oh.
You hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
Rochester is getting a second revolving belt sushi restaurant.
Damn. Well, we got one.
Umai? Am I saying that right?
Umai?
Umai.
Let's go with Umai.
Umai.
Umai Revolving Sushi, which has operated on Monroe Ave in Brighton since 2022, announced their second location in Victor will be open, they say, within the month.
Damn.
Now, if you've ever been to one of these places, if you've never been, tell me, would you like to explain how this works?
So you sit in front of a conveyor belt of food, and these little plates of sushi roll by, and you pick off the plates, and you just eat.
Yep.
And it's just based on the color plate, that's the price.
So they bill you based on the plates you
have. So when you're done, you show them your plates, and that's what you get billed. And it's like two of like small portions.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can just sit there and keep chowing.
This is Tommy's sexual fantasy.
I did it once when I was on vacation, and I go... How is this not around?
Well, and it's perfect, too, because not only do you love sushi, you also love conveyor belts.
Who doesn't like a conveyor belt? Conveyor
and
belts are cool.
Small portions. It's all perfect.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved it. But I've never been to I haven't been to this joint.
I can't believe it. Like, I cannot believe it. It's right around the corner from
I'm dying to go.
You could walk to this place.
I know.
You could. Bro, I'll go with you. I'll take my daughter. Loves sushi. We'll go.
Yeah.
That would be weird, man.
Why?
I'd be like your weird. I'd be like that family friend that everybody calls uncle.
No.
No, that's what it would look like.
I also feel very self-conscious. Like, I have to go out to sushi with somebody I feel very comfortable with because it's a little awkward to eat sushi sometimes.
It is. Yeah.
No, and my wife wants no part of it, so I'll never go.
Or you
can just go by yourself.
Yeah.
That's also
it's not weird.
Weird
at a place like that.
You've gone to movies alone.
Yeah. But now I'm married, I guess.
Okay. Well, look, conveyor belt aside. I think you can make an argument that sushi is the most popular food in the greater Rochester area right now. You can get it everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Grocery store sell it, they make it in-house.
You can get it at the airport.
They have airport sushi?
You can get it at the gas station.
Legitimate gas station sushi. There are joints where you can eat for hours, all you can eat if you want. There are middle-of-the-road places where you can sit down or take out. There are high-end places like Next Door, Bar and Grill, which, by the way, is literally across the street from the first conveyor belt place, where you can spend a few hundred dollars if you want.
And now, one of the cheapest places you could get it, I don't know if they still do it, Chinese buffets.
Yeah, yes, they do.
And they had really cheap sushi.
Yeah. It feels like every town.
Something you should achieve. Just to test out your intestines.
It feels like every town has at least four sushi places that you can go grab if you want it. Do you want to explain, Tommy, why all of a sudden sushi has exploded?
Because if you 30 years ago, somebody presented you this with a business plan, you'd laugh at them.
Yeah.
You're going to sell raw fish to people?
Yes.
Wrapped in rice?
I'm with
and
you.
And they're going to eat it?
And it's not like...
You're going to get sick.
It's not like anything else.
No.
Like, when it comes to any other food, you cannot compare sushi to any other food that we are familiar with. A lot of fish.
Not the way it's presented.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you can get weird with it.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to. Right? But, like, the sushi boom of Rochester, over 20 years, all of a sudden we blinked an eye, and it was everywhere. You couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a cooked fish.
And here's the other thing. You can't have it for leftovers.
No, you got to eat it right now.
You have to eat it right now.
Yeah.
And to your point, you can't make it at home because you're going to kill yourself. You're going to give yourself the fish farts. Yeah, so, I mean, it's very unique.
Okay, so let's put a pin in what you just said because I think that might be one of the reasons here. But the phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. Before we get into why it has blown up, what made it so mainstream in Rochester. Why all of a sudden did everybody, and we're kind of, I mean, we're not picky eaters, but we like what we like. We right. like our Italian, and we like the Eastern European for a while. Mexican snuck in there. Indian has snuck in there. We've always loved Chinese, right? But, like, again, sushi's not like any of those things.
I think it was pushed as a health food, too.
Okay.
People thought it was a healthier option, right?
Okay.
It also helps that I know some people that they tried it their first time getting it at a place like Wegmans. You know what I mean? Like where it felt like a little bit more plain, maybe some of the rolls. Like you could see them. You kind of knew what you were picking up and ordering, whereas you weren't just reading it on a menu and thinking, like, I don't know what to order here.
So you're arguing Wegmans made it mainstream.
I think it helped get more people trying it that maybe would not have before.
Well, to your point, I mean, Wegmans made it affordable.
Yeah.
Right? You said you can watch it make it, Kimmy, so it's not some mystery
You're
thing.
Seeing what you're getting.
And you could ask questions of the folks that were making it for you. Yeah. I mean, maybe that bled it out in
Probably
other parts
helps.
Of the community. But I think the biggest reason as this second conveyor belt sushi restaurants open to the greater Rochester area, like we were talking about, sushi is the one food that people don't trust themselves to make at home. And I don't even think it has to do with the health aspect of it.
Mm.
How do you make sushi?
They sell kits.
I know.
But I wouldn't do it. You got to roll it out.
Yeah. I think the hardest part of making sushi is getting the rice the right consistency where it sticks together.
Oh, I thought that was like a special kind of rice. It's not.
It is.
Oh, okay.
I think they make it. It's a certain type.
Okay. But like you need special tools that are unique only to sushi to make the sushi. And you also need very special ingredients, seaweed, certain parts of the fish, unique sauces and spices. Like you're not going to be able to open up your pantry and be like, oh, let me throw together some sushi.
No.
You have to plan to make sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the reason these restaurants are now everywhere has to do with, outside of Japanese folks, no one has any idea how to do it right on their own, so you're forced to buy it.
Yeah.
It's almost a brilliant plan.
Yeah, it's the perfect food. Because you got to eat it right now.
Exactly. Like every other kind of food that we eat here that we really love. I can make Mexican. It's not going to be as good, but I can make it. I can make a pizza. I can make chicken parm. I can make
pasta,
a burger and fries. All these things. I can't make sushi.
Right. Well, it's kind of like Chinese food. I really can't make that either.
Yeah. Also, well, no, but now they even sell like Chinese like frozen bag dinner kits. Same with Indian food. Like you can buy all that stuff at Wegmans. I can't buy frozen sushi.
No.
Put it
You're
in the oven.
Tooth.
252 WCMF. Let's talk to a man. His name screams, I love sushi.
All right.
Jackson. Jackson's on CMF. What's
Morning,
up?
Guys.
Hey, Sushi Jackson.
I attempted to make sushi.
Oh, this is Jersey Jackson.
It is Jersey Jackson.
Go ahead.
But you were saying, I'm sorry.
Wegmans sells the kits. I actually got the thing to roll the sushi.
Of course you did.
And it's not easy. Like, you can get the imitation crab or you get shrimp and stuff like that, but actually rolling the seaweed and the rice all together, that's your most difficult part.
Yeah, the seaweed, that's the hard part.
All right.
The seaweed.
So, Jackson, did you give up after the first try?
Of course you did.
I've attempted one other time, but it was just not successful.
Because you're a quitter.
I'll stick to California rolling. That's where I got introduced to sushi, with California Rollin'.
Yeah, I mean, that's been one of the most popular restaurants in Rochester for decades.
That's your boy's kid. It's Lou Graham's kid.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that was his.
You know what my favorite roll over there is?
What's this?
Midnight Bluefish.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa! All right, so Jackson, if I had to ask you how many times a month you eat sushi, what do you think?
What's your guess?
I would probably go once or twice a month.
Okay, so you're not a heavy sushi consumer.
That's probably normal.
His palate can't take it.
He's from Jersey, like, man. He was raised on fried clams.
Can't get over this.
Well, your mom was there?
Good Lord. Once in a while, kind of a special treat kind of deal. We'll go to like Wegmans or we'll go to California Rolling with the kids. Because we've gotten the kids into sushi as well. It's just one of those where like, you can't just have one roll, and then, like, it starts off not that expensive, but you get, like, three or four rolls, eventually it adds up.
All right, well, Jackson, keep enjoying your sushi, buddy. Put money in the piggy bank so you can have a nice sushi day for
yourself. It adds up, buddy.
Yep, have a good one, guys.
Hi, Jackson. All right, can I ask you a question?
What?
As we talk about sushi taking over Rochester slowly, would you go to a sushi restaurant that wasn't owned by an Asian family?
You probably have.
Yeah.
I mean, how would you know unless you did your research?
I mean, like when you walk in to a place to serve sushi, there's usually a lot of Asian people working.
But I think that's changed now.
Yeah.
Can you think of a place that sells sushi that
isn't?
Wegmans.
Multiple.
I mean, you'll see non-Asian people working behind the counter making that sushi.
That's fairly recent.
Yeah, it is.
Because when I worked at Wegmans, I worked in the prepared food section right next to where they made the sushi.
Yeah, yeah. It was all Asian.
All Asian guys.
Yeah.
Those guys were fun.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Like, it really gave me an appreciation for old Asian men. Mm. They are funny as hell.
Yeah.
They like practical jokes. Anywho.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it would take a lot for you to go to, like, Danny O'Brien's Italian Restaurante.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, Felipe Sanchez's Deli at Bagels. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I it's standard, I think, in your head to go to a place where you feel the person making it is super familiar with the food.
Yeah, it'd be like Italian restaurants. You want an Italian family.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a Red's or a Deli.
Exactly, yeah. There's no, you know.
Yeah, I got you.
Jacques Cousteau's French or Italian bistro. So, like, I think the ultimate sign of this food has been accepted as standard is when we start seeing, like, straight-up non-Asian folks opening up sushi restaurants. And we're like, I'm going to go check that.
Okay. Yeah, I'm sure they're out there.
Name me one.
Well, I don't know because I don't know.
There are California some, rolling, I guess.
There are some around town. I know. I've been to them.
Okay. All right. By the way, this doesn't seem like a fad either because you can make the argument.
Oh, no. Sushi's been around 30 years now.
That's what I mean. And it just keeps getting more and more successful. These places keep opening and rarely do they close.
Yeah.
Right? So, it's here.
Enjoy.
It's going to stay.
Enjoy your rough fish.
It sucks, though, because, my daughter loves sushi. My youngest loves sushi. Both my wife and older one, they'll eat it. They like it. I have a hard time doing it.
I do enjoy watching people not like sushi.
What is that?
So
shouldn't it be the opposite? Like, you're the one trying to get somebody into sushi.
But watching their face and what they think of sushi is priceless.
Why are you such an arrogant prick?
Well, so...
you're not cultured enough for this.
Well, we got through my wife's family. One of the guys is over. We had a platter of sushi out for a party.
Okay,
and he looks at my wife and goes, "You serve him raw fish, but your stove broke."
Oh my god!
It's a great line.
It is a great line. It's a good line.
He wasn't touching that.
See, I like that guy better than I like you.
Well, that's every guy.
Yeah, it's true. No, man, it sucks too because I don't want to be the wet blanket.
You never want to prevent somebody else from getting a food that they enjoy because you don't like it. But there's not a lot of other options if you don't like that type of food.
It's not that I don't like it. I just don't love it. Like, I'll muscle through it.
But you're not a fish person.
No. Like, I can eat the ones with the shrimp in it, but those are the most expensive.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then there's the veggie ones that I can handle, but that doesn't, fill you up
as much. But it still has a seaweed taste to it.
I think the seaweed is what bothers me.
Yeah, it's got an ocean taste to it.
And then, I'm afraid to try the ones that are, wrapped in avocado. What's that, a dragon?
I love those, man. Those avocado ones are the best.
Yeah, but, I don't know. It also looks like it's got fish in it. I don't really
want it. Well, it's going to taste a little fishy.
I don't want that.
It's fishy avocado.
Yeah. Fishy avocado, one of my favorite Catskills Canadians. Remember you opened up for Soupy Pockets? Let's take one more sushi call. 252-WCMF. Brian's got the last word. Hey, Brian. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing?
Good, man. What's up?
So I was just listening to you guys. I know a lot of people are real skeptical on sushi. And, just getting into it, and it's a little nerve-wracking at first. I would definitely suggest there's a place in Victory.
Brian, I can't hear you, buddy. I'm sorry. I got to let you go. Your phone's killing me, but thank you. I appreciate it. If there's one thing you should trust, it's a man with a bad phone recommending sushi. I pay for my minutes by the card, and I love eating sushi. There are going to be people who lose their jobs within the next 2 weeks.
Oh.
And it's because they could not control their drinking at a holiday party.
Oh, yeah.
So if you are someone who knows, whether they're in anxious situations or there's an open bar, that you may overdo it.
What do I do?
This strategy is brilliant, even though I know you're about to be a bitch-ass bitch who kills it.
Maybe not.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. So if you do not want to get too drunk at your next holiday party, you need to participate in zebra striping.
So how does this work?
Zebra striping is the act of following every alcoholic beverage with a non-alcoholic beverage.
Most they say, drink a glass of water.
Or soda or whatever. Right. Just can't have alcohol in it. So it's like the stripes on a zebra. Black, white, black, white, black, white. Right. Zebra striping. And the idea behind it is folks know a lot of people don't want to not have a drink in their hand. Right? You have to have a drink in your hand when you're doing something.
It's a comfort thing.
Exactly. Yeah. But if you continue to have alcoholic drinks in your hand while everyone's drinking.
Sip them faster.
Exactly. You're subconsciously drinking either because you're anxious or everyone else is doing it. So by having the non-alcoholic drinks, you are filling up your stomach to the point where you can't drink as much as you would have with alcohol, therefore not embarrassing yourself or costing yourself your career or your reputation or whatever. How is this just a thing now? This is a brilliant idea.
Oh, I mean, I know people that subscribe to that, but I don't. I always thought they did it to save themselves from a hangover, not so much to not get drunk.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, so I'll go one bottle of water for every three beers at a Bills game.
Yeah.
And it's
like,
for the
it was more hydrated. For the headache that you knew was coming.
Exactly.
Not so much like I'm going to, you know, scale it
I
back.
I couldn't do it.
What do you mean you couldn't do it?
Okay, because it's just going to remind me how much not drinking sucks. Like if I went,
really?
I like whiskey, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what I would substitute for that. Like a glass of water.
Yeah. Soda water? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't want soda. So I'll drink
soda
water.
Like the sparkling water.
Yeah,
I know
like
you're
that.
A bitch. And
I don't like fizzy.
You are such a bitch. I know you drink sparkling water.
I don't.
Ooh, can I have some man in jacket and turtleneck sweater says he doesn't like Perrier. Liar of the century. Why you lie? You were saying I'm sorry.
I
liar!
Just remind me, I don't like this.
Okay, just have a glass of water.
I don't want water. You get dressed up a glass of water. I got water at home.
You're going to have another alcoholic drink in a second.
You have something in between.
I don't think I could stick to it. I think I would try it like one drink and I'd be right back to just
better than nothing, I guess.
Especially if it's open B. You got open bar and I ain't getting my money.
No, but the funny thing about the holiday party, right? Like, you know, I agree with you. If I go to a wedding and I drop a gift, I do feel this pressure to get my money out of the open bar. But holiday parties don't normally cost you anything.
Right.
No.
So it's not like you're losing money not drinking all of the alcohol at the open bar at your work party.
It's also hard for me to not drink at events I don't want to be at.
Okay.
Because I want to hide behind the alcohol.
Understood.
So I don't want to go to a work party. Neither do you.
No.
So I'm going to drink more because I don't want to be here.
But that's why you should be using this method.
I know this. I know this. But it's not helping me.
Okay, you understand.
I can't hide behind water.
You understand this is, but exactly, it's not a puzzle to solve.
It is.
No, there isn't a troll you have to answer questions.
It's a riddle.
You simply finish your alcoholic drink, grab a non-alcoholic drink, drink that, and then go back to alcohol. Like, all you have to do is just go drink, other drink.
Nobody's asking you not to drink.
Not that complicated.
I understand that, but
I don't think you do.
I let the alcohol do the driving.
You know what's funny is, like, you know, for as much as a jackass as you are, you can handle your alcohol pretty good, right? Like, I haven't seen you drunkenly embarrass yourself in a very long time, and that's back when we were both degenerates.
Yeah.
Are you a bad drunk when you get around an open
what
bar?
What do you think? She's bad at everything. She gets going, the horns come out.
Boy. No, I am.
That's why she's going to,
I am now at the age where my hangover starts before I'm even done drinking, so that usually ends the night pretty early for me.
I mean, the cruelty of life, right? Yeah. Where you finally get to a point in your life where you can kind of afford to go crazy if you want to, right? And you may even have the time to go do it, and you can't without dying.
Mm.
My dad had friends, and my dad was one of those guys that, like, if you ran into my father when my father retired for good when he was 60.
Okay.
He always had a drink in his hand, and so did all his buddies. And I remember going to see, like, right before he died, he wanted to go see one of his neighbors. So I go, this guy's name was Otto, rich old dude. We went there at 10 o'clock in the morning. He's got a glass of scotch in his hand. And it's just a straight, and it's a full, I go, that's what I want. I want to be 90-year-old Otto with a drink in my hand at 10 o'clock in the morning.
I get it, 90, who cares?
But I think he did this his whole life.
Okay, that's impressive.
And my old man was the same way. He went to 87.
Yeah, and you saw how everything worked out for your dad. Why would you not want to replicate that?
How was that in the end?
Right. He was crapping his rubber pants at an Italian restaurant.
Yes.
And the poo was being spun up by the wheels of his wheelchair.
Got all over my nice shoes.
He was finger blasting your mom with rubber gloves.
And wasn't he blowing all of his money at the bar?
Oh, I thought you were talking about his mom again. I'm sorry,
like you said, he would spend an absurd amount of money.
So my old man was spending it. I still remember this place. It was a sports bar called Splashes. And he was going down there every day with my mother. They would split a steak. And then my mother didn't drink at that point, and he would just start drinking Rob Roy's or Manhattan's. He was spending $250 a week. He was going back a few years, basically on lunchtime alcohol. Then he would go back to the nursing home and get strung out on Robitussin at night. And it was called robo-tripping.
So tell me again what you don't want to use a zebra method.
That's not the worst thing in the world.
You literally, I can't think of many worse things.
Split a steak, get wasted.
I love how he's like, that wasn't the worst thing in the world, says man that didn't have to take care of them at any point.
Yeah.
Because you didn't live there.
Didn't your father steal a mobile cart from a grocery store to drive to a bar to get drunk?
He did. And he was at Publix, which is a big chain down there. And my mother, you know, she had dementia.
Yes.
So, like, she'd go, he would just leave her. So she's, like, walking around Publix. And then he got in the motorized cart and went over to the bar, drove into the bar. They served him in the bar. He never got out of the thing.
Florida.
And then he, yes, and he motored back.
So, okay. Again. You started this story as, like, making it sound
romantic.
It's not
the worst, man.
It is, again, bro, he left your dementia-ridden mother at a grocery store by herself to steal a motorized cart yes. from the grocery store.
Borrowed.
Okay, to go to the thing. By the way, he also used your mother who had dementia as his DD.
Yeah, so when he was a member of the Elks Lodge, my mother was still losing her mind. He would drink, she would drive, but she had dementia. So basically, he would tell her what to do in the car. He basically had the first ever driverless car. Like, he was Tesla before Tesla. You just told it where to go. And he would say, make a left. Turn here. Slow down. You're going too fast. And she would just hold on to the wheel and do what he said.
Amish Tesla.
Yes.
252-WCMF. This conversation started with this idea of zebra striping. If you have a family or work holiday party coming up, to make sure you don't get too drunk, lose your job, ruin your reputation, rotate alcoholic drinks for non-alcoholic drinks like the stripes on a zebra. Black, white, black, white, black, okay. white. And this turned into, I can't not drink when there's alcohol there. It sounds romantic to be an old man poofing my pants, taking advantage of my dementia-ridden wife while stealing grocery carts.
Bro, the poop's coming whether I do it or not.
Put that on a t-shirt.
You know it.
Sell it in the rock shop.